Chapter 9 "This fuss over the cemetery certainly breathed a bit of life into this town," said his mother. "Go and give your granddad his tray, will you? And tell him about it. You know he takes an interest." Granddad was watching the news in Hindi. He didn't want to, but the thingy for controlling the set had got lost, and everyone had forgotten how to change channels without it. "Brought you your tray, Granddad?"
"Right."
"You know the old cemetery, where you showed me William Sticker's grave?"
"Right."
"Well, maybe it won't be built on now. There was a meeting last night."
"Right."
"I spoke up at the meeting."
"Right."
"So it might be all right."
"Right."
Johnny sighed. He went back into the kitchen. "Can I have an old sheet, Mum?"
"What on earth for?"
"Wobbler's Halloween party. I can't think of anything else." "There's the one I used as a dust cover, if you're going to cut holes in it."
"Thanks, Mum."
"It's pink."
"Oh, Mum!"
"It's practically washed out. No one'll notice." It also, as it turned out, had the remains of some flowers embroidered on one end. Johnny did his best with a pair of scissors. He'd promised he'd go, but he went the long way round, with a sheet in a bag, just in case the dead had come back and might see him. And there was Mr. Grimm to think about now. After he'd been gone a few minutes, the TV started showing the news in English, which looked less interesting than the Hindi news. Granddad watched it for a while, and then sat up.
"Hey, girl, it says they're trying to save the old cemetery."
"Yes, Dad."
"It looked like our Johnny on the stage there."
"Yes, Dad."
"No one tells me anything around here. What's this?"
"Chicken, Dad."
"Right."
They were somewhere in the high plateaus of Asia, where once camel trains had traded silk across 5,000 miles, and now madmen with guns shot one another in the various names of God.
"How far to morning?"
"Nearly there."
"What?"
The dead slowed down in a mountain pass full of driving snow.
"We owe the boy something. He took an interest. He remembered us."
"That's absolutely correct. Conservation of energy. Besides, he'll be worrying."
"Yes, but if we go back now, we'll become like we were, won't we? I can feel the weight of that gravestone now. Sylvia Liberty, you said we shouldn't leave."
"I've changed my mind, William."
"Yes, I spent half my life being frightened of dying, and now I'm dead, I'm going to stop being frightened," said the alderman. "Besides, I'm remembering things."
There was a murmur from the rest of the dead.
"I think we all are," said Solomon Einstein. "All the things we forgot when we were alive."
"That's the trouble with life," said the alderman.
"It takes up your whole time. I mean, I won't say it wasn't fun, bits of it. Quite a lot of it, really, in its own way. But it wasn't what you'd call living."
"We don't have to be frightened of the morning," said Mr. Vicente. "We don't have to be frightened of anything."
A skeleton opened the door. "It's me, Johnny."
"It's me, Big Mac. What are you, a gay ghost?"
"It's not that pink."
"The flowers are good."
"Come on, let me in. It's freezing out here."
"Can you float and mince at the same time?"
"Big Mac."
"Come on, then."
Somehow it looked as if Wobbler hadn't really put his heart into the decorations. There were a few streamers and some rubber spiders around the place, and a bowl of the dreadful punch you always get in these circumstances, the one with the brownish bits of orange in it, and bowls full of nibbles with names like Curly Wigglies, and a vegetable marrow that looked as though it had walked into a combine harvester.
"It was supposed to be a jack-o'-lantern," Wobbler kept telling everyone, "but I couldn't find a pumpkin." "Met Hannibal Lecter in a dark alley, did it?"
said Yolus.
"The plastic bats are good, aren't they?" said Wobbler. "They cost 50 pence each. Have some more punch."
There were other people there too, although in the semi-darkness it was hard to make out who they thought they were. There was someone with a lot of stitches and a bolt through his neck, but that was only Nodge who looked like that anyway. There were a bunch from Wobbler's computer group who could get drunk on non-alcoholic alcohol and would then stagger around saying things like, "I'm totally mad!" There were a couple of girls Wobbler vaguely knew. It was that sort of party. You just knew someone would put something daft in the punch, and everyone would talk about school, and one of the girls' dads would turn up at 11 o'clock and hang around looking determined and put a damper on things, as if they weren't soaking wet already.
"We could play a game," said Big Mac. "Not Dead Man's Hand," said Wobbler. "Not after last year. You're supposed to pass around grapes and stuff, not just anything you find in the fridge."
"It wasn't what it was," said one of the girls. "It was what he said it was."
"All right," said Johnny to Yolas. "I've been trying to work it out. Who are you?"
Yolas had covered half his face with white makeup. He wasn't wearing a shirt, just his ordinary string vest, but he'd found a piece of fake leopard skin pattern material, which he draped over his shoulders, and he had a black hat.
"Baron Samedi, the voodoo god," said Yolas. "I got the idea out of James Bond."
"That's racial stereotyping," someone said.
"No, it's not," said Yolas. "Not if I'm doing it."
"I'm pretty sure Baron Samedi didn't wear a bowler hat," said Johnny. "I'm pretty sure it was a top hat. A bowler hat makes you look a bit like you're going to an office somewhere."
"I can't help it. It was all I could get."
"Maybe he's Baron Samedi, the voodoo god of chartered accountancy," said Wobbler.
For a moment, Johnny thought of Mr. Grimm. His face was all one colour, but he looked like a voodoo god of chartered accountancy if ever there was one.
"In the film, he was all mixed up with tarot cards and stuff," said Big Mac.
"Not really," said Johnny, waking up. "Tarot cards are European occult. Voodoo is African occult."
"Don't be daft, it's American," said Wobbler.
"No, American occult is Elvis Presley not being dead and that sort of thing," said Yolas. "Voodoo is basically West African, with a bit of Christian influence. I looked it up."
"I've got some ordinary cards," said Wobbler.
"No messing around with cards," said Baron Yolas severely. "My mum would go spare."
"What about the thing with letters and glasses?"
"The postman?"
"You know what I mean."
"No, that could lead to dark forces taking over," said Baron Yolas. "It's as bad as Ouija boards."
Someone put on a tape and started to dance. Johnny stared into his glass of horrible punch. There was an orange pip floating in it.
"Cards and boards," he thought, "and the dead. That's not dark forces. Making a fuss about cards and heavy metal and going on about Dungeons and Dragons stuff because it's got demon gods in it is like guarding the door when it is really coming up through the floorboards. Real dark forces aren't dark. They're sort of grey, like Mr. Grimm. They take all the colour out of life. They take a town like Blackbury and turn it into frightened streets and plastic signs and bright new futures and towers where no one wants to live and no one really does live. The dead seem more alive than us. And everyone becomes grey and turns into numbers, and then somewhere someone starts to do arithmetic. The demon god Yoth Ziggurat might want to chop your soul up into little pieces, but at least he doesn't tell you that you haven't got one. And at least you've got half a chance of finding a magic sword. He kept thinking about Mr. Grimm. Even the dead kept away from him. He woke up to hear Wobbler say,
"We could go trick-or-treating."
"My mother says that's no better than begging," said Yolas.
"Huh, it's worse than that around Joshua and Clement," said Big Mac. "It's called Kiss 5 quid or Kiss Your Tars night-night."
"We could do it around here," said Wobbler, "or we could go down the mall. That'll just be full of kids in costume running around screaming."
"A few more won't hurt then," said Johnny.
"All right then, everybody," Wobbler said. "Come on."
In fact, Neil Armstrong Mal was full of all the other people who'd run out of ideas at Halloween parties. They wandered around in groups, looking at one another's clothes and talking, which was pretty much what people did normally in any case, except that tonight the Mal looked like Transylvania on late shopping night. Zombies lurched under the sodium lights. Witches walked around in groups and giggled at the boys. Grinning pumpkins bobbed on the escalators. Vampires gibbered among the sad indoor trees and kept fumbling their false fangs back in. Mrs. Tatchian rummaged for tins in the litter bins. Johnny's pink ghost outfit caused a lot of interest.
"Seen any dead around lately?"
said Baron Yolas, when Wobbler and Big Mac had gone off to buy some snacks.
"Hundreds," said Johnny.
"You know what I mean."
No, not them. I'm worried something may have happened to them.
They're dead.
If they exist, that is, said Iolas. It's not as though they could get run over or something. If you've saved their cemetery for them, they probably just aren't bothering to talk to you anymore. That's probably what it is. I think...
Anyone want a raspberry snake?
Said Wobbler, rustling a large paper bag.
The skulls are good too.
I'm going home, said Johnny. There's something wrong, and I don't know what it is. A 10-year-old bride of Dracula flapped past.
I've got to admit, this isn't big fun, said Wobbler. Tell you what, there's Night of the Vampire Nerds on TV. We could go and watch that.
What about everyone else? Said Big Mac. The rest of the party had drifted off.
Oh, well, they know where I live, said Wobbler philosophically, as a blood-streaked ghoul went by eating an ice cream.
I don't believe in vampire nerds, said Big Mac, as they stepped into the night air. It was a lot colder now, and the mist was coming back.
Oh, I don't know, said Wobbler. It's the sort we'd have round here.
They'd suck fruit juice, said Iolas.
Their mum would make them go to bed late, said Big Mac, but they had to think about that.
Why are we going this way? Said Wobbler. This isn't the way back.
It's foggy too, said Big Mac.
It's just the mist off the canal, said Johnny. Wobbler stopped.
Oh, no, he said.
It's quicker this way, said Johnny.
Oh, yes, quicker. Oh, yes, because I'm going to run.
Don't be daft.
It's Halloween.
So what?
You dressed up as Dracula. What are you worried about?
I'm not going past there tonight.
It's no different than going past during the day.
All right, it's the same, but I'm different.
Scared, said Big Mac.
What, me? Scared? Huh, me? I'm not scared.
Actually, it is a bit risky, said Baron Iolas.
Yeah, risky, said Wobbler hurriedly.
I mean, you never know, said Iolas.
Never know, Wobbler echoed.
Look, it's a street in our town. There's lights and a phone box and everything, said Johnny. I won't be happy until I've checked, okay? Anyway, there's four of us after all.
That just means something bad can happen four times, said Wobbler.
But they'd been walking as they talked. Now the little light in the phone box loomed in the fog like a blurred star. The other three went quiet. The fog hushed all sounds. Johnny listened. There wasn't even that blotting paper silence that the dead made.
See, he whispered. I said. Someone coughed a long way off.
All four boys suddenly tried to occupy the same spot.
Dead people don't cough, hissed Johnny. Then someone's in the cemetery, said Iolas.
Body snatchers, said Wobbler.
Birkenhead, said Big Mac.
I've read about this in the papers, whispered Wobbler.
People digging up graves for satanic rites.
Shut up, said Johnny.
They sagged. Sounded to me like it came from the old boot factory, he said.
But it's the middle of the night, said Iolas.
They crept forward. There was a dim shape pulled onto the pavement where the streetlights barely shone.
It's a van, said Johnny. There, Count Dracula never drove a van.
Big Mac tried to grin.
Unless he was a vampire.
There was a metallic clink somewhere in the fog. Wobbler, said Johnny in what he hoped was a calm voice.
Yes?
You said you were going to run. Go round to Mr. Atterbury's house right now and tell him to come here.
What? By myself?
You'll run faster if you're by yourself.
Right.
Wobbler gave them a frightened look and vanished.
What exactly are we doing?
Said Iolas, as the other three peered into the fog. There was no mistaking the noise this time. It was wrapped about with fog, but it was definitely the sound of a big diesel engine starting up.
Someone's nicking a bulldozer, said Big Mac.
I wish that's what they were doing, said Johnny, but I don't think they are.
Come on, will you?
Listen, if someone's driving a bulldozer without lights in the fog, I'm not hanging around, said Iolas.
Lights came on 50 meters away. They didn't show much. They just lit up two cones of fog.
Is that better? Said Johnny.
No.
The lights ground forward. The machine was bumping towards the cemetery railings. Old buddleia bushes and dead stinging nettles smashed under the treads, and there was a clang as the blade hit the low wall. Johnny ran alongside the machine and shouted, "Oi!" The engine stopped.
"Run away!"
hissed Johnny to Yolas.
"Go on! Tell someone what's happening!"
A man unfolded himself from the cab and jumped down. He advanced towards the boys, waving a finger.
"You kids," he said, "are in real trouble."
Johnny backed away, and someone grabbed his shoulders.
"You heard the man," said a voice by his ear. "It's your fault, this. So you better not have seen anything, right? Because we know where you live." "Oh, no, you don't."
A hand shot out and grabbed Yolas as he tried to back away.
"Know what I think?" said the man who had been driving the bulldozer. "I think it's lucky we happened to be passing and found 'em messing around, eh? Shame they'd driven it right through the place already, eh? Kids today, eh?"
A half-brick sailed past Johnny's face and hit the man beside him on the shoulder.
"What the? I'll smash your head in! I'll smash your head in!"
Big Mac emerged from the fog. He looked terrifying. He reached beside him, yanked a railing from the broken wall, and started to whirl it round his head as he advanced.
"You what, you what, you what? I'm mental, me!"
Then he started to run forward.
"Ah!"
And it dawned on all four people at once that he wasn't going to stop.